The Burning Fields. Along the seacoast in Japan, the earthquakes are sometimes followed by terrible tidal waves that do more damage even than the earthquakes. This wonderful story tells of such a tidal wave. Long ago, there lived in Japan an old man whose name was Yamaguchi. His farmhouse stood on the edge of a plateau, a flat, open space on the side of a mountain. Behind, the mountain rose in lofty wooded peaks. In front, it sloped gently down to the sea. At the foot of the mountain, along the shore, was the little village, made up of 100 or more thatched houses and a great temple. One afternoon in late summer, Yamaguchi sat on the balcony of his house and watched the people in the village below. With him was his grandson, a lad of 10. The rice crop had been very fine, and the villagers were holding their harvest festival. All the shops were closed, and the streets were gaily decorated with ropes of straw and paper lanterns. The villagers, in bright colored clothing, were about to join in the harvest dance. Beyond the village, Yamaguchi could see the vast blue sea, wrinkling under the bright afternoon sun. Suddenly, there came a slight shock. The house rocked 3 or 4 times and then stood still. Yamaguchi had felt many earthquakes in his time, and he was not at all frightened until he looked toward the sea. The water had become dark green and very rough. The tide had suddenly changed. The sea was running swiftly away from the land. The villagers stopped their dancing and ran to the shore to watch. None of them knew what this strange thing meant. But the old man on the mountain had seen one such sight as a little child. He knew what the sea would do. There was no time to send a message to the village, nor to ring the big bell in the temple. And yet the people must be warned. "Yona," he called to his little grandson, "light a torch, quickly!" The boy was puzzled, but he asked no questions. He kindled the torch at once. The old man ran to the fields where hundreds of rice stacks stood awaiting sale. It was all his wealth. He ran from one stack to another, applying the torch to each. The dry stalks caught fire quickly, and soon the red flames were shooting upward, and the smoke was rising in great columns to join the wind clouds in the sky. Yona ran after his grandfather, shouting and crying, "Grandfather! Grandfather! Why? Why are you setting fire to the rice?" The old man had no time to answer, but ran on, firing stack after stack. The high wind caught the sparks and loose brands and carried them further, until the fields were all ablaze. The watcher in the temple saw the fire and set the big bell booming, and the people turned from the sea to look. In Japan, everyone in the village must give help in time of fire. No sooner did the people see that Yamaguchi's rice stacks were on fire than they began to run. Like a swarm of ants, they climbed the mountain. Young men and boys, women and girls, old folk, mothers with babies on their backs, even little children joined in the race to put out the fire. But when they reached the plateau, it was too late. The flames had already eaten the stacks of beautiful rice. "It is too bad," the people exclaimed. "How did it happen?" "Grandfather did it," cried Yona. With a torch he set fire to the rice. He is mad! In amazement, the people stared at Yamaguchi. You did this thing? They cried. You set fire to the rice fields? Look toward the sea, said the old man, and know my purpose. The people turned and looked. Far out they saw a great wall of water sweeping toward them, more swiftly than a bird flies. It was the returning sea. The people shrieked, but their voices were lost in a great sound, deeper than thunder. A great wall of water struck the side of the mountain. The hills shook and were drenched in a great burst of foam. When the cloud of spray had disappeared, the people saw a wild sea raving over their village. Great angry waves seethed and tumbled about the housetops. They rolled away roaring, tearing out houses and trees and great rocks and bearing them off. Again the wall of water struck, and again, with less force each time. At last it fell back once more in its former bed. The people stood speechless on the side of the mountain. The village was gone. The temple was gone. The fields had been torn away. Nothing was left of their homes but a few straw roofs that floated on the water. But every man and woman and child was safe on the mountainside. Then the people knew why old Yamaguchi had set fire to the rice. There he stood among them, as poor as any, and they fell on their knees to thank him. Please visit EnglishWithElizabeth.com to hear more life-inspiring free podcasts.